Claritas is an industry leader in providing brands, agencies, and publishers with a complete closed-loop marketing platform to help marketers identify their right potential customers more precisely, deliver more effective multi-channel campaigns across audiences' preferred channels, and optimize campaigns more accurately and efficiently through a robust attribution and incremental lift analysis measuring both online and offline channels, including podcast, digital audio, and advanced television. Claritas's offerings are strengthened by the recent acquisition of Arts AI, integrating AI-powered technology to underpin an already robust identity graph, which fuels the accuracy, effectiveness, and efficiency of all their solutions. Claritas is committed to being an independent third-party partner, providing marketers with an unbiased and objective approach for building, executing, and measuring online and offline marketing campaigns. Find out more at Claritas.com. On this episode of Uncommon Thinking, recorded at Advertising Week New York 2023, panelists delve into the dynamic landscape of continuous AI innovation and share why our industry is on the precipice of unleashing its potential to do more creative, strategic work that drives businesses forward, and the importance of industry collaboration between brands and AI providers to maximize the impact and harness the opportunity of these new technologies. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, good morning. How's everybody doing? Everybody all right? A little call and response, yes? My name is Alvin Bowles. I'm Vice President of the Global Business Group at Meta. That means I look after sales in Latin America and North America. And so just happy to be here. It's wonderful to see here. They've transformed this place. You're gonna hear some wonderful industry minds. But first, I wanna ask you all a question. How many of you wish that you had more time for innovation and creative? Yes? Well, the end of the day, you know, the point is we really understand that that actually isn't what we're often doing. Most often we're wasting 16 hours a week doing things that really don't add value to overall jobs. Now, how many of you have actually been utilizing AI at all or wish they actually had more time to be able to actually do things? Has anybody been using that? Yeah, far less hands. You don't have to be scared. It's not necessary. I think that was what interesting for us. We're actually, let me actually make sure this is working. There we go. Sorry about that. One of the things that's been interesting for us at Meta is that we actually understand the value of actually combining both human and AI to understand how to actually put more time back into the process of creative. To be able to give individuals more time to actually do what's best for the industry. Individuals don't want to actually focus on mundane tasks, and understanding actually how do you actually focus on the essence of what this industry actually has. Now, we at Meta focus on a couple of things. One, we actually have a new Meta AI tool, and I asked it this morning, well, how I actually might get set up for today's session. And you maybe can't read all of this, but I think it did an okay job. The key, though, is while it may have been a setup, it actually doesn't actually take the place of actually doing this, to actually hear from individuals personally. And that human element and AI combined actually allows us to be able to actually unlock the real value of actually utilizing AI. We think about it as a co-pilot. And we've embedded this into WhatsApp, into Messenger, into Instagram. And the idea is that you really want to make sure that you're actually focusing on just eliminating the things that have been so time-consuming for us to be able to dig into and allow individuals to be able to unlock what's most important about what makes this industry unique, creative, and actually delivering outcomes for overall partners. So while this has been okay, and I still want to actually focus on what actually means, you know, what we actually get from the human experience, the bottom line is this is really focusing on just the first generation of AI tools. This is not just about relinquishing control to individuals. And I think there's been a lot of concern about whether or not this is going to take jobs, what does this mean for the industry. I think initially, many years ago, we talked about everybody should be coding. Now everybody is actually focusing on AI. The idea for us is to understand how do you embrace this technology and really allow it to work for all of us. That's the biggest thing for us. So as much as I actually want to keep talking, I do want to make sure we get a chance to hear from our wonderful, esteemed panelists here. This has really been an interesting thing for us. The biggest thing for us to understand, we've got wonderful individuals here to speak to, three industry experts, Jay Pattisall, VP of Principal Analyst from Forrester, Keith Soljacek, did I get that right?
Sort of.
Soljacek, I tried earlier and I messed that up. EVP of Head of Innovation for Publicis Media, and my dear friend Janet Bayless, who leads EY's global consulting practice for media and entertainment industry, and just a dear friend from back in the day. She's gotten younger and I've gotten older. And so as we set the stage, Janet, we'll start with you. Why are we talking about AI again? I think it's been the talk of the town. We talked about this, I think, in Cannes. Every other conversation was like AI, AI, AI. Why are we here again talking about AI?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that we are at an incredible tipping point for artificial intelligence. But as you point out, AI is not a new phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It has been around since the 1940s and 50s. But I think when you have an application like ChatGPT, which in November kicks off and literally a handful of months later is already at 100 million users, suddenly you've got people who are accessing new skills and opportunity. We've democratized access to all of these new things that we can do. We can go from text to image and text to code and text to audio and text to video. And suddenly in our professional and our personal lives, people are seeing the power of AI. And I do think that point around professional and personal is important. I mean, remember, the first thing that we started talking about at the beginning of this year was kids and homework, right? And so it suddenly was very tangible. It wasn't, let's make the business case around AI and talk about it in a professional context. As soon as it became accessible to people, suddenly people could really understand and appreciate the on-ramp that this really creates to everything else, from automation to Web3 to the entire rest of the AI suite, like machine learning and deep learning. So
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, Jay, you know, you're an industry expert in this regard, and we keep hearing that, I think you may have coined this term, intelligent creative. What does that actually mean for individuals that are out there trying to understand how do they balance what's inherently what they've been trained for and leveraging technology across the board?
Yeah, that's a good summation. Intelligent creativity is a concept that we coined about 4 years ago at Forrester, following the really growing rise of predictive technologies, automation, machine learning, and its application in the media business and then increasingly in the production business. Right. And we saw the opportunity, of course, for it to play a hand in the content development side of the business. So quite literally, intelligent creativity is a creative problem-solving process in which creators, broadly defined, you know, not necessarily creatives, but creators, all types, can conceive and develop and produce and activate business ideas, in this instance, marketing ideas, using AI, automation, and intelligent software. But that's a whole lot of words, and really what it comes down to is people and machines, and the combination of human intuition with machine prowess. The intelligence and the sensibilities and the intuitions and rationale of who we are as humans and the things that we do best versus what machines do best, which is speed and scale and precision. And when you combine those two things together, you've got marketing that is faster and more intelligent. You've got a creative process that is, as you say, much faster, that's giving you back the gift of time to elevate your work, so that the outcomes are more meaningful and improved. And in today's environment, when marketers are constantly being asked to do more and more with less and less resources, time, speed, and precision are key to success.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, Keith, you know, you're the head of innovation at Publicis, and it's a big title, but we've been utilizing, you know, AI for years, you know, in terms of having intelligent conversations and things of that nature. How do we think about this now in terms of, it's been a widely effective tool for performance advertisers. We understand this notion of performance and brand, and that there's also performance embedded in some of those brand outcomes. We certainly understand that based on our platform as well, but, you know, how will adding intelligent creativity to the equation really change the game in this space?
Yeah, Alvin, look, advertising for years has always been about connection. Can you make a connection between the brand, their offering, and the consumer, right? And we've iterated, and we've improved, and we've grown our intelligence to be able to build that connection. It happens on two sides. One, it's on the consumer side, right? First, you have that understanding of what the brand can do for you.
Right.
What's the utility? What's that connection? You're going to be solving problems for me. You're going to be giving me back time. You're going to improving the quality of my life in some way. These are just tenets that we've always had in advertising, right? We find ways to match brands and consumers. Now, with intelligent creativity, right, you can bring those two things a lot closer together. We're getting closer and closer and closer to the point now where if we can identify moments within our marketing where we have data on you that you've either opted in or we've inferred, and you have reached you at the right time, at the right place, right? These are things we've talked about for years. But what do you actually see? What's at the impression level of the brand and the consumer? And it's been one to many. We try to get as intelligent with our creativity as we possibly could to reach as many people in a most efficient way. Now, with AI, which is like, really it's like describing a food or shelter, because there's so much underneath that that is critical to what we need as marketers to reach our consumers. Intelligent creativity can be driven no matter where you are. You're at the retail store, you're in an e-commerce site, you're in a publisher site, you're on the Meta platform. Can we, again, bring that brand and the consumer closer together so that light bulb moment goes on? This connected with me because it knows me, knows about me, or can infer something. That should help us exponentially in the next connected age when we're building these bridges between brands and consumers. Then you have that point of trust. You understood me, and I trust you now to explore more.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, Jana, how do you think about this in terms of the application? We understand it delivers business outcomes, but outside of the areas of marketing and what have you, what are you seeing actually in your experience and how we've been utilizing AI to deliver outcomes outside of just marketing?
Well, I think what's really interesting is, in the context of everything we've said so far, it's really about connecting to humans and creating value for them and creating value in marketing. And what we're starting to see already is that there's tremendous value in AI as you start to think about how marketing connects to sales, connects to supply chain, connects to all the other silos. If you think about it, everything is described in data, and it's not to suggest that humans shouldn't apply judgment and humans aren't going to make great decisions in the business, but we can bring so much more real-time business intelligence to every choice in the business, and there's a lot more precision that we can bring to creativity and media and bring a lot more data infused into all of those choices. But we can also do that for all the other things, like where the supply needs to go based on where the demand signals are. So at this moment, it's about thinking about all the different things that are happening across the organization, which as humans, we just can't connect quickly enough on, and thinking about how AI will allow us to do that far more intelligently than ever before. Again, with humans intersecting with that business intelligence.
I think that point can't be underscored even enough. You know, I always say, in my practice, my job is to decrease the distance between ideation and execution. We're in the outcomes business. And if AI can actually help us do that with the involvement from a human that actually has the real intelligence, the brand insights and things of that nature, you're never going to concede that space to anything else from a machine or anything else. But if you can actually allow that to then do some of the hard work for you, it allows you to really take that time back and understand what's the best thing for me to describe a product, a service, an outcome, whatever that means, and then whatever platform you're utilizing it, allowing that machine learning to be able to take off. As I think about that, Jay, how do you think about this just changing the creative process? Like, how does this change in general? As we think about roles and responsibilities and how we actually ensure that brands still stay at the center of everything we're doing.
Yeah, it has some meaningful changes. I think when you think about the advertising process, the machines used to always come in at the end. The humans would start the idea, and the technology would be applied to activate the idea. That's still the case, but now we're seeing opportunities where the machines can start the ideas and quickly draft concepts or examples. It fills a blank page, quite frankly. And what used to take 2 weeks to prepare for an initial session around creative concepts or marketing concepts can be done in hours or days. And so that's the fundamental shift is the order in which things happen and the speed with which it happens. it also necessitates that creators broadly think about a system of content and not just a single deliverable or a set of deliverables, but rather a system or a template so you can create volumes of material or assets or volumes of iterations of campaigns. That too is different. But the thing that stays the same is originality.
Right.
You know, I think we've beat this drum pretty well today, but it can be said over again that, you know, it makes us more human. Because we're doing the things that we're supposed to do. And in fact, we just completed a piece of forecast research this past summer looking at the US advertising industry, and 7.5% of jobs are going to be automated in US advertising roles between now and 2030. That's a third less than the average annual attrition rate. You know, it's a small number. It boosts jobs is what it does. And it does so by giving people time and giving people the freedom and ability to scale their ideas.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I mean, I think that, Jenna, you touched on this, Ryan. You mentioned democratizing access, and we always think about our platform and others democratizing storytelling.
Yep.
You know, you have it in the palm of your hand, and anyone that has an audience has the ability to potentially turn that audience into a business. When AI can actually be put into the hands of not just the large media companies like us, but an individual that has a following or what have you, that allows them to be able to say, I can turn that into a business because I'm not spending time resizing an image or changing a color. And some of the slides that I was trying to show you earlier that didn't quite work is being able to actually, when you're leveraging AI and we're putting this into our tools, you're giving that power back to the entrepreneurs. Like that is the point. How do you think through this, Janet? I think just to build on some of Jay's point of this notion of democratizing storytelling.
Well, if I think about generative AI specifically, if I think about ideation, if I think about the actual point of ideation, if I think about when you actually go to creation and production and distribution, at every moment, there are these beautiful use cases that are already emerging for generative AI that allow us to move more quickly. I do think one of the things that's really important for us to note, though, is that, first of all, it's really early days on the generative AI front. I think right now there are a lot of people who are experimenting with how they take these tools and use them at every one of those stages of a creative process. And, you know, I don't want to use consulting words like value chain. Maybe I just did, but like, whatever.
It's okay.
Like, well, go ahead, put some chevrons up there. Just imagine them in your head. Yeah, now we're good. But like, whatever it is that is the process, and hopefully it's nonlinear, by the way, and you're bringing a lot of voices into it and really, really building on it. But the point is that there's a lot to build on. The key thing, though, is, if everyone builds their own chain of using AI in a vacuum, I think that's where things can go really wrong. Mm. I think the key thing is to remember, you've got media owners who have incredible AI that they're gonna bring into their process. You have agencies who are gonna be doing it, and I'm talking about at the large scale, not the small business and
right.
maybe entrepreneurial end of the spectrum. You've got large scale marketers. All of those things have to be wired really intelligently to work together and so that they build on each other. And I think that's going to be one of the more interesting challenges as we continue to foray through this.
That makes a lot of sense. Keith, you are the head of innovation in your space. Like, what are you all doing to really accelerate this space and this shift that we're seeing in the industry?
Yeah, it's a great time to be in a role like I'm in because I'm so inspired
right.
by all the tools we have at our disposal right now. And just looking back, you know, I've been in this business, you know, over 20 years, and it goes through cycles, right? Cycles of evolution, cycles of revolution, and cycles where it gets really stale. And you say, why aren't we able to break through anymore? And we were in this position, you know, unironically, right before the pandemic, where it got stale. And it wasn't because the technology got stale or the technology wasn't evolving at a quick enough pace. It was what consumers wanted that got stale. It was the same old, right? And consumers didn't really evolve their need from brands, which means brands didn't really evolve what they were offering back to consumers. We were stuck in place. Now, when we all stayed home, focused on learning, focused on improving, focused on growing our own personal and professional careers, and then turn that into action, right, with all that free time. And we cracked open a few things that are pretty incredible during that time. And one of them is this accessibility of large language models that led to accessibility of ChatGPT. Okay, this is a long-winded walk to my point, but now consumers had something brand new to expect, brand new to experience. And it's essentially, it was a magical experience when you started using ChatGPT. Now, that proliferates into your consumer need, okay? If that can do that, then I expect that to be everywhere in my digital experience. I want it accessible, I want it personalized, I want it delivered to me in an omni-channel environment. I want, okay, great. That is an incredible time for marketers, right? Because consumers are telling us we want something different, we want it in a different way. So, to meet this need, right, and what we're doing today and innovative things we're doing today, I'm sure my story is gonna be very similar to a lot of marketer stories or innovation lead stories is we're cracking it all wide open, right? The roadmaps that we looked at over the last 3 years to evolve how we connect with consumers, we're taking a fresh look at those right now. Is that roadmap still maintained, or do we need to offer new experiences, new ways to connect with our consumers? And for us at Publicis, you know, with the things we're doing today are at the end of really a 6-year roadmap that we kicked off, where we reinvented ourselves as an AI-centric company, right? And being able to deliver experiences for brands and for our clients. And what we understand today is that need, right? And we say, we can put the processes in place, we can put the technology platforms in place, we can partner with folks like Meta to bring brand new consumer experiences to market. But ultimately, we're not looking at how do we inject technology into consumers' lives. It's how do we inject our brand's message into what they're asking for, what they need, right? And so in the Meta AI launch, right, you've got characters and new people to interact with. Well, what's an authentic way that brands can inject themselves into that conversation? Those are the things we're looking at to understand how this is shifting. It always starts with the consumer and what they actually want and how they want to interact with brands and put those processes and experiences into place to meet them there.
It makes a lot of sense. I think that I love the fact that you're saying you put the consumer first in the center of everything that you're doing, because then the experiences actually just come from there. As you think about this, and I think this is maybe a question for a number of you, how does the profile of the roles change? We talked about this being able to create jobs or what have you. You all have been extremely innovative at Publicis, but you know, perhaps Jay, you can actually take this first of what is the profile of the roles that this type of opportunity leads for individuals? There's no better time in the world to be focusing on brand creation where it's new, discoverable, and then actionable right now. And so like, what does that mean for the types of profiles for all the folks that are here that are attending Advertising Week?
Yeah, I mean, the analysis is pretty clear in that, I mean, when we say AI, we're talking about two different things, really. We're talking about predictive AI with defined sets of data versus generative AI. And the first really lends itself to automation, what we call automation potential, or automating jobs. And then the second lends itself to what we call generative influence, which positively and negatively influences jobs. The automation side is actually quite small, and I mentioned this a moment ago, where it's 7.5%. The generative influence is huge, and it hits across a much larger cross section of employees and skills. But it's slightly uneven. It's a bit of a tale of two cities, where there are certain jobs that are much more process oriented, that are more likely to be completed more quickly and more efficiently from a machine, whereas there are other jobs that are much more creative problem solving that are incredibly difficult for machines to replicate or to replace. So you see things like writing and designing and editing and producing as benefactors from this technology, and some of the more kind of administrative process oriented skills for advertising and marketing and strategy and research that are more replaceable. So I think in the end, what you'll find is that those that are in more process oriented jobs will upskill themselves into more strategic jobs that are about creative problem solving, and those are the areas that grow.
Janet?
I think what I would just add is While there will be exceptions for very specialized creative crafts, I think the general trend will be that we will see more generalists and more, I'll call it, full stack creatives and more full stack marketers, as opposed to the notion of specialists. I think today there are a lot of people who are maybe channel specific or craft specific or task specific, and you know, you said like, you could say copy, like writing specific or image specific or video specific. I think that goes away in the future state, and we start to see more generalists who are able to do lots of different things as a lot of these skills are democratized and made accessible to them. And it becomes, how do you put all these pieces together? But the palette broadens.
How do you do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm gonna build on what you just said, Janet, putting the pieces together. All right, so there's three things I think we're looking for now if we're out in recruiting, and then there's three things we're looking for in the talent pool we have, and we've got a massive talent pool we can pull from. One is, do you have good instincts, okay? Because an instinct leads to an idea, which now you can lean into AI to help you enact or enable or activate on. Right. So if you've got good instincts and you're working with the right tools, you can move quickly, and speed is paramount.
Right.
Two, we need you to be an architect, okay? Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to get real creative with how you problem solve. It's not all laid out for you easily and with dashboards and everything you can say. Say, they're all gonna make the decisions for me and I just click send on the email. We need you to be an architect and to say, I'll pull from these data sources, I'll get really, I'll use my ingenuity to go find new sources of data that I can layer in. It's like we're working with Legos, okay? And my son would love that, right? I can put this whole Lego set together, and now this is something novel and new and unique. And lastly, you gotta be curious, man.
Right.
Yeah. Like, if you're not out there and curious, like, I'm super curious when I interact with something like a ChatGPT or a Meta AI. I wanna see what it can get out. I'm not trying to break it, because I think that's a waste of time. I'm trying to see what I can extract from it. And so if you're really curious and you try to go attack the problem in different ways, you'll get incredible things out of the tooling we have available to us today. And as we move into the next realm, right, and as we evolve what we're able to do, I'll just get better access to data at my fingertips that's fine-tuned into what I need. Right now, it's a big, wide-open ocean of data. But if you're curious, you've got great instincts, and you're an architect who can build, you can get right down to that great idea and move as quick as what's really in demand now.
Yeah, I give you a shout out to that. I mean, one of the things that we've done really well with you all is our sandboxing product, yeah, which has been wonderful to be able to actually partner with you all, to be able to understand. Again, you haven't broken it, so thank you for not breaking it.
But you tried to.
But I think this what's been great about this is that it gives us really great insights as best how to use it. And then we also understand how to bring products to market that individuals can use. We've got our Advantage Plus shopping campaigns and things of that nature where you're seeing real good business results in addition to all the different innovation that we're actually planning on to have in the future. But if you keep the consumer at the center of it, to your point, it actually makes a lot of sense. Just shifting gears, because we've only got a couple of minutes left. Janet, you know, you mentioned the role that CMOs have to play as this transformation is really, really critical to organizations. So we talked about some of the skills and job profiles that individuals need to have, understanding how to be an architect and a generalist and being insanely curious. What roles do CMOs have to really understand how to embrace this piece of it as opposed to thinking about it being a threat to their overall business?
Well, I think there's been an overall there's just been too much focus on the jobs and the tasks that this is going to take away or change. What this is really going to do is it's going to change the enterprise. It's going to change the way companies work. And how different functions are going to connect, whether that's inside of marketing, whether that's how marketing connects with other functions. And so we did a study with Oxford University that actually looked at transformation and what is the difference between a successful and an unsuccessful one. And the difference is having human-centered leadership. And guess what? CMOs and marketers in general have these skills in spades. So CMOs and marketers in general need to seize their superpowers, which is that they understand storytelling. They're more in touch with the zeitgeist of culture, both within the company and externally. And they know how to connect with humans, which is everything we've been talking about here. So as the enterprise transforms in response to this new balance of humans and technology, it's imperative that marketers have a seat at the table, not just to transform marketing, but to transform the company and really think about how this is going to change, how the enterprise comes together and leads towards the future. Because those human-centered emotions and being in touch with them will be more important than ever.
That's a great call. I think one of the last things that I wanted to build on, in addition to understanding how marketers and senior level executives need to embrace this, we want to make sure that we're also addressing this notion of equity in AI and ensuring that we actually don't infuse bias, which we all have, into this future state that we have. Jay, how do you think about making sure that we're actually ensuring that we don't allow our own human biases to be infused into these systems that then perhaps perpetuate challenges that we think we could mitigate in this new world?
Yeah, a lot of that bias just comes from the internet in general and what currently exists that's out there that is used as trainable data. So in the future, I'm really encouraged by what Publicis and others are doing in terms of building more bespoke executions and bespoke models for their clients that are trained on data that is, of course, relevant to culture, but also really specific to the brand, specific to the audiences, so that they're executing based upon those parameters and not just the fire hydrant of the full internet and all that data that exists out there. And I think that's a great step at controlling for the right biases that need to be involved. You know, the right audiences, the right assumptions, the right characteristics of the brand, its voice, and create a bit more of a closed system to work within.
Yeah. And one thing I want to build on that too is you have to be vigilant against this. You have to assume the worst, because we've been proven that it's really challenging to move past inherent bias in the system. And so by staying vigilant and saying, as a marketer, prove it to me, okay? That's what I'll ask the marketers in the room, is you've got any number of companies coming to today, and they're gonna put that they've removed inherent bias or they've mitigated inherent bias from their systems. Every company is gonna come to you and tell you that. Make them prove it. That's all I'm asking you, is because it's critical, because once you start, it's really hard to wind it back. And so if you're in this world now where it wasn't proven to you that you've moved past inherent bias, you may be clawing back for years in trying to reestablish that. So that's my last ask, is
absolutely,
stay vigilant.
Final word on this point, and then we're wrapping up.
I just would encourage you to remember there's at least four key points where humans are involved, and you mentioned it, but we select the data that trains the models. We select the modeling approaches. It's not like there's one LLM out there. There's lots of different modeling techniques, and by the way, it's not all LLMs. Three, we choose the insights that we derive from those models, and four, we choose the actions we take. So be as inclusive as possible at all four of those stages on the humans that are involved.
With that, thank you. Please join me in thanking our panelists for a great discussion. I ask that you all take a look at the survey. I think there's a QR code. We appreciate the feedback, and thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for listening. For more programs like this one from Advertising Week's ever-growing podcast network, visit www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.